Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mountain Gypsy. This is Kathy Young, otherwise known as Kat Young, your illustrious host, with my beautiful, beautiful, smart, sexy, what else is she? Talented daughter, Tess Hughes. How you doing, Tess?
I am doing amazing.
You are?
My best friend Ashley's here. And I'm just grinning from ear to ear. I just got back from a marvelous little 2-day trip to Nashville, day and a half, 2-day trip to Nashville, and I had a blast.
Well, I have been taking care of your baby boys, and I
thank you so much.
Feeding them sugar and chocolate and soda.
You fed them sugar and chocolate.
We ate very healthy and we had a blast.
I doubt.
And we did stuff.
I doubt.
And
seriously. There's
stars
on my counter. I believe not.
You had what's on
anyway,
your counter?
Stars of Nutella. I
leave
it
behind.
And
oh no.
Stars of Nutella and packages of Chips Ahoy. There's, you know, like a smorgasbord of ants were here. I have no idea what happened. I walk in my house, it's crazy.
That was
it's
there.
Okay.
I walked in
the
door. But
it's a good chance of that. I mean, it is.
They were at my house, and at my house, they didn't have that. So, now we had a wonderful time while you were gone, and I told them the truth about who you really are and everything. So, things
who
may
am
be
I really
different.
Am. Who am I really?
Who am I really?
I ask myself that every day. I wake up and say, who am I really today? It's a challenge to figure that out. And usually by the end of the day, I have a little idea. It's not big, usually. I've had such a fun time, Kat. I'm really just happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't even got to talk to my daughter. This is the first time we spoke, really, in a couple of days other than... I called this morning to say, hey, can the boys wear their cowboy boots to school? And she's like, I don't care. Because she was asleep.
Well,
so that's all we've talked about.
It was 7:30 here. Yeah, it was 7:30 here. It was 6:30 there. So, and I had been up late, so I'm having that. But yeah, it was a blast. I mean, just an out and out blast. I actually got to finish most of the Book of Enoch. I literally just took a break. So if you all have been messaging me on Facebook or anything like that, don't feel neglected. I just took a little break and recharged a bit. And I had a blast. I ran. And I wasn't being, like, chased by anything.
You've never ran in your life.
It was,
I don't know if anybody
you know,
else
I made it.
I don't know, and it might be my phone, but you sound really muffled. I don't. It might just be my phone.
Well, you sound a little fuzzy, but I still love you.
It might be just my phone. I'm always fuzzy. Well, we had a good weekend, but I've been a little stressed lately with just a lot going on, dealing with some just stuff. But you know, other than that, I mean. You know, life's good. Working out. Lost 10 pounds my first week in the gym working out. Eating a lot of lettuce.
That's a mama. A
lot of meat. A lot of lettuce. A lot of meat. No sodas. Water and unsweetened tea. That's what I'm doing. I did just now. I'm at my friend Donna's house. And because I had to come up here in Banner Elk. And I... I was taught, and I ate a Girl Scout cookie. I did. I just, but you know, oh well.
Dinner.
Sorry, because I'm drinking water with it, you know, so it cancels it out.
Well,
but
I didn't actually have any soda for the last 2 days, and I was like, as I walked in the house, I was like, oh, you know what? I didn't eat any sugar, and then I remembered I ate ice cream on my way home. So
I bet you had no alcohol either while you were gone, did you?
Well, what else did you all do while I was gone?
Oh, my God. Well, I took the boys out to eat dinner with Donna and Mamie and Dayton. We went to Applebee's. We had a large time. We went to Applebee's for dinner. We had a big time at Applebee's.
Oh, boy, I'm sure
you hear me?
Total gentlemen. I can. Were they complete and total gentlemen?
Absolutely,
yes.
The entire time. They really were.
Awesome.
We had no problem whatsoever. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yes.
But
they're
anyway,
really great kids,
especially
for everybody else.
They are. They're wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. You know, here, let me tell you something exciting that happened. A lot of people that listen to the show and follow us on Facebook know that we've been dealing with a lot of situation with bullying with my 14-year-old. And, you know, it really does take a toll on the whole family. And I had a very stressful day yesterday dealing with just a bunch of stuff. And we walk into a restaurant, and someone came up to me, a member of someone's family, and I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to cause any trouble, but there's a dog. They acknowledge that their family member, and they are close to their family member, was just being terrible to Mamie, and that they apologized for it, and they said that they wish they could do something about it. There's nothing they could do about it, and they were terribly sorry for what this person had caused, and they realized it, and they were sorry, and that they also had been bullied themselves at that school, and they know how it felt, and anything that they had ever done, they apologized for it too. And it was such a release of pain and hurt that I actually went home and cried last night. And it touched Mamie. It just helped so much to know that someone who was their family member was one of the big players in it, and they apologized for that person, even though, you know, that person's not going to apologize, but that they recognized it. And that was hard for them to have to do, because if their family probably found out they did this, I'm sure it would cause a huge, huge, you know, fight. But the fact that they took that chance, and I just, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of guts to do what's right. It takes a lot of, maybe even at the risk of losing a lot of family turning against you, to stand up and say, I will not stand beside my family when they're trying to do something so wrong to hurt somebody, and I'm just going to tell you that this is wrong. It takes a lot of guts sometimes to do the right thing, and this person did, and it really helped and made a big difference. And if
That's
you're
awesome
listening,
they did that.
And if this person's listening and they know who they are, I want to tell you thank you. And just by you having the guts to do that, that really made a difference in my life and my daughter's life. And so I want you to know thank you for that. So if you are out there and you know that someone is being a total butt, and you're related to them, and they're causing strife or trouble in somebody's life, let other people know, man, I'm not a part of that, you know. And I want you to know, I wish I could do something about it, but I can't. It matters, because when you're the person at the other end of that stick that's getting, you know, beat up all the time, it feels like the whole world's against you. And just every once in a while for somebody to say, hey, I'm not a part of that. I see what's happening. It makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference. So, you know, be the bigger person. You know, you hear all the time, I don't want to get involved. Well, you know what? Get involved, because if you were on the other end of it, you'd want somebody standing up for you. Tonight, Donna and I were sitting here, and she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, you were sitting here to stand up and to fight for those who can't. And we started talking, and she said, you stand up for those who won't stand up for themselves, or those who can't stand up. You're a voice for people that won't fight. And I started thinking about that, and I said, yeah, you know, I can remember the first time I actually and this may not be the first time, but tonight's what I can remember. Well, the first time was when I was in eighth grade, was a teacher was going to do the, you know, the whole classroom punishment thing. You remember those days, Tess? Did you ever have that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had an eighth grade teacher that she was going to do the, this. When I was in school, the teachers could beat the living hell out of you. And I had this teacher, and she was going to paddle the entire classroom because one person, she said, if anybody, I'm walking out of the classroom, and she was going to let this one girl take name. And she said, if anybody speaks, everybody's getting a paddling. And I thought, when she said that, I thought, I'm not getting a hit. I'm going to sit here. I'm not opening my mouth. These teachers have hit me one too many times, and there's not going to be another adult hit me for no reason. And I wasn't a defiant kid. I was a good kid, but I thought, nobody's going to hit me. Nobody's going to hit these other kids that didn't do anything wrong. It's not. I'm not going to let it happen. I've had enough. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, where are these thoughts coming from? I remember thinking that. And so she left. This little smart started writing down people's names, and I thought, why are you doing this to everybody? You know we're all going to be in trouble. So she comes back in, and this girl has everybody's name. She said, well, I said everybody's getting it, so everybody line up. Everybody starts lining up, and she said, Kathy, get in the front. I said, no. No, you're not going to lay a hand on me. And everybody, because back then people didn't stand up to teachers. And she said, everybody line up. I'll never forget her name. There was two Miss Wilsons, and this was Miss Wilson, the one everybody didn't like. She said, line up. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. She said, what? I said, you are not going to lay a hand on me. I said, I didn't do anything wrong. And half the kids up there didn't do anything wrong. And I said, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to hit me. An adult is not going to hit me for something I didn't do. I'm too grown, because I was like 13 at this time, and you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. And she just couldn't believe it. And she said, well, you'll go to the office. And I said, gladly I'll go to the office, and I'll tell them that you were going to hit me for something I didn't do. And her desk, she was one of these teachers that put her desk at the back of the room and all the chairs in front of it so she could watch you just to see if you were going to do something wrong, because she just loved to punish people. And her desk was at the back of the room, and my desk was jutted up right against her desk. And as I started to lean forward to get out, she reached across her desk, and she had one of those paddles with the holes in it. And she took like a baseball bat and swatted and hit me across the spine as hard as she could. Man, that hurt. And I turned around and looked at her, and I said, lady, you're going to pay for that one. And I guess she thought I'd just
terrifying
break down a time.
To hear you say that.
I think we had my defiance, and I looked at her, and she just looked at me like, holy crap. And I went straight to the office, and I can remember this was the beginning of nobody's going to do this to me again. Nobody is going to try to break me anymore. I've had enough in my life. And I went to the office, and I told them exactly what happened, and I said, I want my parents here immediately. And you know, it was a weird thing that day. It's like the universe just switched. Usually they tell kids, sit down, be quiet. They called my parents. And my mom and dad came up there, and my mom and dad went in there and said, you will not hit my kid for something she didn't do. You'll never do this again. And that teacher was in tears, and she did apologize to me. And I remember that some of the kids in the class were just like, just in awe that I had done that and stood up and stood up for them. But I told Donna, what I remember also about that was earlier that week, a friend of mine who had passed away, Mark Shipley, is a very good friend of mine. He's passed away now. I love very much. Earlier that week, he had done something, nothing of grandeur, but this stupid teacher, I can see him now. I remember he had made him grab his ankles and bend over, and he was taking one of those paddles and using it like a baseball bat, and he would hit that boy so hard that his back would hit the lockers, and it would make that noise that, you know, where the lockers would, you know, rattle, and his body would bounce against that, and then it would bounce back. And I remember thinking then, that's it. Nobody's going to hit us like that anymore. And he would kept doing that. And he would just almost giggle, the teacher, when he did. And I thought, what's wrong with these people? And from that point forward, even when I was little, I would stand up for it. But it was like at that point I found my voice. And I've always fought. And this week I have been standing up and fighting against people that think they have authority. And
you know, that's weird you should say that, because Sunday evening, Chaz, your son, my brother, came by my house, and me and Chaz are usually around everybody, the whole family, and we're always busy. We actually got to spend some time together, and we were talking about everything that Mamie had gone through. We had talked about, you know, us growing up and how we had been bullied and how we would handle it till we couldn't handle it anymore, and how you would go and handle it, and how we, after a few times of you handle it, we were like, you know what, we'll just do it ourselves because that's a little scary. But, and we both agree that from small children on, we were taught by you, by our father, and by Poppy, our grandfather, your dad, that you always stand up for yourself. You know, you don't let people run all over you. But if ever someone is getting made fun of, anybody, you always stand up for them. It doesn't matter if you can't stand the person, like, you stand up for them because nobody deserves that kind of treatment. You don't know what that person's going through at home, especially kids. So it's quite bizarre that you had that when me and your son had the same conversation and actually even talked about it again today via text message. So I feel like that's something that we all can learn from. And that, you know, class extent here to stand up for the underdog. So I think that that's a big thing.
Well, you know, and believe it or not, this kind of brings us to our show today, because what we're talking about, and a lot of things we're going to be talking about, is kind of standing up and exposing some of the things the government does to people, and how the government and how things happen, and it bullies us. And when you stand up, or when you call people out, or when you make things known and obvious, you're not the popular person anymore, and people don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle you. They don't know how to take you. I was telling our guest tonight that's getting ready to come on the air about how people find me intimidating, or I had recently someone say they think they're better than me. I think I'm better than them. I think I'm better than people, and that's not true. But we'll get to that in a minute. So before we go any further, I love the guest we have on our show tonight. He is not bad to look at, ladies. I'm just telling you, this is a manly man, and I love his beard. He's got the swirl, which we don't know what the swirl is. He's a magic man, Mama, and I'm telling you, this is my counterpart in the holistic world. He's a man among men. And before we go any further, without much further ado, let me introduce you, Frank Sinelli. Are you there, Frank?
I am here, and I am blushing with all your accolades and comments. Please, don't stop.
We love you, Frank.
Oh, I love you,
so good
you
to
too.
Hear your voice.
It's been a while, Tess. I miss you.
I miss you too, Frank, so much.
Yeah. Hey, I got a quick bullying story, okay? And I was listening to the show and listening to you guys talking about bullies. And I remember I was in junior high, and you guys know me. I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'1", and where I come from, that's a giant. My town is full of Italians, so I'm head and shoulders above. So I'm like the biggest kid in school in junior high. And there's this one kid, and he got picked on. God rest his soul, he's passed now. But he got picked on a little bit, got picked on bad, but he was teased a lot. And then one day, he's getting teased, and he comes up, and he took a swing at me. Now, I never said boo to the kid. I was actually friendly with him, and I was not the one picking on him. And later on, when we were alone, I asked him, I grabbed him. I said, Russell, what the hell did you do? Why did you hit me? He said, well, I knew you wouldn't hit me back. So, yeah, that's my bullying story.
Oh, but he had to prove himself. So
yeah. And I don't know why I thought of that as you guys were talking about, because, you know, I mean, I got bullying stories out the ears. We all do. You know, we grew up in this world. But that's the one that popped into my head. And, you know, and again, he died. It was a tragic death. And he's passed now a couple years. So God rest his soul.
He must have just come by to say hi tonight and put that memory back in your mind, you know?
He must have. And actually, I think of him often. I remember our first reunion, the only reason I wanted to go was to see this guy because I hadn't seen him since we had graduated high school.
Yeah. Did he do okay?
Yeah. What's that?
Did things turn out okay for him in life?
Yeah, he was great. He ended up owning, you know, a couple of dozen Dominoes and.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then his crazy wife shot him.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So, wow.
Anyway.
My goodness.
I'm lifting my glass and cheers to Russell.
Cheers to you, Russell. Yeah. So taking a swing at Frank, man, that takes some guts.
Yeah.
It was all I could do not to grab him and just throttle him.
Yeah,
You
probably, you know, the fact that you didn't, everybody probably backed off from him from that point right there, you know? You saved the guy. In your own way, you saved the guy from not, you know, beating the living daylights out of him. But
I guess.
You know, really.
I was like, what, 12 years old at the time. I didn't. What the hell did I know?
Yeah. But you know what's so crazy about stuff like that is when you're 12, stuff that happens when you're 12 can set you, if you're going to stay in a community and not ever move away, it can stick with you and set you for the rest of your life. And that's a fact.
Fair enough.
If you grow up in a small town, it will stick with you. I can remember stuff about people from fifth and sixth grade that I cannot forget. And that's
true.
The way it is, you know. So
yeah.
You move away,
it's
nobody knows that.
I think it's awful. I think that all places are like that. It just depends on like your group of friends. I think, you know, even like your classmates, not just take groups of friends, but all five kids and stuff, people everywhere that have like, oh, you know, so and so in the third grade did this, or you know. I think it's just you're so impressionable as a child that those things stay with you forever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, I want to tell you all, may wonder why I say Mr. Magic Extraordinaire. Frank and I were talking earlier today, and when we do shows and we have guests on the air, we always say, how would you like for us to put you on as what your credentials are? And people ask us the same thing when we go on the air. How would you like, you know, Mountain Gypsies, Kat Young and Tessie's Mountain Gypsies, and what are you? And when you do what we do, what Frank does and what Tess and I do, which are very similar, people say, what are you and what do you do? Well, a lot of people will say, well, we're psychic mediums. Well, Frank's not a psychic medium. Tess and I are not psychic mediums. Everything that we all do is very unexplained. It's hard to explain. So Frank was saying, well, I'll tell people sometimes. What is it you say? You tell them that you do voodoo? What was it?
I'm a witch doctor. You know,
yeah,
a
witch
do
doctor. And
you know.
I said, well,
yep.
I just tell people I'm magic. And he said, I like that. And I said, well, yeah, because you are too. And the word magic comes from the word magi, which means wise women and men of God. And which, when you're wise women and men of God, you have a whole trunk full of tricks you can pull out and do. And so that's why he is Mr. Magic Extraordinaire, because he doesn't fall under any category. He's got a PhD. He is a holistic healer. He's a holistic god.
Oh, go on.
he has his own holistic clinic. He does biofeedback. I mean, a lot of the stuff he does is similar to the stuff Tess and I do. Plus, Frank has some gypsy in him, just like us. And where I'm the matriarch of mine, believe it or not, Frank is he's called to be a patriarch. And he has that same... he has the same healing powers like we do. So to tell you what Frank does, I can't, because he does a little bit of everything. Plus, his intellect will blow you away. Believe it or not, he makes me look stupid. I know it's hard to believe because I'm so intelligent. And but he has so much knowledge about things that I want to talk about tonight. And there's a lot of things. There's so much I would like to just spend about 3 months with Frank and just pick his brain, not his nose, his brain.
You are welcome here anytime. We have a wonderful guest room and I can cook.
Well, you know how gypsies are, man. We come in.
Lord,
we
don't tell us that.
No,
don't tell us that.
We put our tent.
We'll bring
alcohol. Our tent down. And,
it's
oh, Lord. Yeah, Isabel would be y'all need to go home.
Oh, are you kidding? She'd love to have you guys here.
Well, let me tell you guys what happened today that listening. I was taking Tessa's boys to school this morning, and I leave my house, and I see some odd trucks sitting around, like a lot of electrical, and early this morning there was like a cable truck, and then there was a electrical company truck, and they were all doing work out early this morning. I thought, this is so weird, but then there was really nothing going on. I thought, my conspiracy theory and stuff started sticking in. Somebody's up to something. And then all of a sudden I looked up in the sky. There's a beautiful blue sky, and I started noticing all these crisscross lines, and I thought, oh, I wonder if that's those chemtrails everybody talks about. Of course, I couldn't remember the name of it, but I knew what in my mind it was those things. And I started looking. I realized, oh, wait a minute. This is actually happening right now because the planes are here. And it was like, there's one plane, wait a minute, there's another plane, wait a minute, there's another. And before I knew it, there was 10 or more planes in the sky as fast as they could, going back and forth and crisscross. And then all of a sudden I saw where they, as I drew further, where they were going straight up. It looked like a rocket going straight up, and then they'd cut over, and then they would come back. And my beautiful blue sky went from not a beautiful blue sky, but all of a sudden to not just smoke and lines, but I've got pictures of it almost like a white netting over the entire town. And I put this on Facebook. I put a little bit of it on Facebook, and I'm like, what is this? And Frank, of course, said, well, it's chemtrails. Like, yes, that's it. And so we started talking, and now he's going to talk to us about that. So, Frank, it's all yours, baby. Tell me what on earth happened today.
Well, there's two things that we look up in the sky, okay, and you see the planes go by, and sometimes you see this nice white streak behind it. That's a contrail, okay, and all that is just condensed water from the heated exhaust of an airplane, and it's typically just one little streak in the sky, and it dissipates very quickly. The second is a chemtrail, okay, and a chemtrail, they're long-lasting. They're usually a crosshatch pattern or a spiderweb pattern, and they consist of chemicals and biological agents that are sprayed for, you know, whatever reason. And that's where, you know, the whole conspiracy lies is who and what is going on here, okay? And, you know, I think it was 1977 was the first reported chemtrail. And that was in Oklahoma, I believe. You know, since then, I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere you go. And it's not just here in America anymore. It's now international. I was in the UK last year, and I was at Sage Paracon, and I gave talks on two nights, and it was supposed to be the same talk. And the first night was my talk on how to stay healthy while investigating the paranormal. But throughout the day, I start talking to people, and you know, of course, conspiracies come up and chemtrails, and everybody was so enthralled with chemtrails. So the second day, I switched up and did a chemtrail presentation. You know, there's a list of chemicals, and let me find that list.
You know, while you're looking at that list, I wanted to say I I did not realize that people are so heated about this, too. They get very heated. People get angry when you kill them in chemtrails and they start, oh, you're stupid, or how ridiculous. Next thing you're going to tell me there's aliens, and they get very upset.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about it. They just want to. But here's the thing. You know, I've heard about it. I've not paid as much attention to it as I should because, you know, I have so many different things going on. But I watched this. It's different when you hear about it and then when you watched it. Now, here's the difference. Like you said, planes, the condensation is there and it dissipates. I've watched it a million times when I was a kid because my home is not but just a few miles, not even 5-6 miles from a Tri-City Regional Airport, okay? So all my life, I would go out my front yard, we would lay in the field, we'd watch the planes take off, we'd watch that. I know exactly what it looks like and how it goes away. And it goes away pretty quick. This wasn't like that at all. And I don't even know that you could, I'm telling you, you can't even see the plane from the smoke that there's around them. It looks more like a rocket. And I watched these go straight up as fast as they could, and then they would take a quick angle out, you know, to the right, and they would go really far, and then they would come back. And as they would come back, the smoke would be longer, more widespread. And there is at least 10 of these things back and forth and crisscross. Well, now, that's not going somewhere. That wasn't maneuvers. It was, these things had a purpose. They were creating this smoke to create this canvas that went over the town I was in. I watched it. I watched it myself. Now, if y'all don't believe me, I can't help it. I watched it. I took pictures of it. So I saw this, okay? So there's a difference than hearing about it and seeing it yourself, and I saw this. So the controversy doesn't exist anymore to me. It was real. So how people can be upset and say it doesn't exist, I don't know. It wasn't like they were trying to hide. It was real. So what were those chemicals? What was in those chemicals that they were putting on my city?
Okay. So it's barium.
I've done this for you.
Nano aluminum. Coated fiberglass, radioactive thorium, cadmium, chromium, nickel, desiccated blood, mold spores, yellow fungal mycotoxins, ethylene dibromide, and polymer fibers. Now, we could go through one of those chemicals, and I could tell you what just one of them would do to your body. Let alone a chemical cocktail like this. And I know there's a clinic in Arizona that has seen a rise in aluminum in its residents over the past 10 years. And they're one of the areas that are heavily sprayed with chemtrails. It's crazy.
But what's the purpose? You know, why were those chemicals sprayed and made this web over my town this morning? Why?
You know, and that's the question. And I wish I knew. There's a number of different theories. One of the theories is that it has to do with controlling the weather. There's another, and this is one of the things that really pushed me into getting into conspiracies. You know, as a practitioner, you meet all kinds of people. And I had a guy in there telling me about HAARP machines, H-A-A-R-P. And these were specialized machines that were designed by the government to control the weather. Several years later, the government says, yes, these machines exist, but they're designed to disrupt low-level communication by disrupting the ionosphere. Well, I don't care, you know, if you've got a rocket science degree or you don't, disrupting the ionosphere is going to mess with the weather. So there are some that believe that chemtrails just kind of amplify this and give these frequencies something to bounce off of in the air. Which will let them create these killer weather patterns They say Hurricane Katrina was man-made and created by this. So that's one theory. The other theory, and this is the one I kind of more lean to, it's the weakening of society. Okay, when you have a society that is weakened and dependent upon government, they are more easily controlled. My first recollections of hearing about chemtrails was I used to get a newsletter. I think it was from a doctor in West Virginia, Dr. McCain, and she kept talking about these planes that would fly over her farm and spray this stuff. And she said the one day there were little pieces that almost looked like little feathers. Now, her son was already immune compromised. And every time these planes would fly over, her yeah. son would get sicker and sicker. So, you know, and that's probably the reason I lean more towards that theory. And then for whatever reason, she stopped doing the newsletter.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to her or anything?
I don't. And every now and again, I get online, I try to find her, and yeah, I got nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you today, I said, you know, there's so many theories and stuff and everything, and I told you, I said, you know, funny thing is, it kind of made like a total coverage, like they were trying to hide something, they were trying to, you know, take through or something, and, you know, I don't know. There's so many theories it could be, and it was, something was going on. And
yeah,
the town we live in is a very poor town, and most people are on food stamps or on disability or on anything, and I felt like when they were like that, the government feels like that. People, that's their people. They can do whatever they want. They can trial, test, whatever. Now, a lot of people will be like, the government wouldn't do that. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, if this day and age you really think that the government won't do whatever they want, I'm just blown away by it. But if people think we're not manipulated by the government, I'm just – go ahead. I'm sorry.
One theory I heard today was I was actually asked somebody after I found out our topic and everything, because I saw a plane do something really – I was in Nashville, and I saw a plane do – I don't even know what was going on with it today. Like, we almost stopped on the side of the road to see. It was acting crazy, and it had a huge trail on it, and it was right over Nashville, and I was like, this is bizarre. And I said, I wonder what that's for, and we kind of had started talking about it, and they said population control. They think that the government does try all kinds of population control with chemtrails, like everything, and what's scarier are the ones that fly lower, and you can't see the chemicals. And I had actually not thought about that. I didn't even think that they would fly lower, but they said they had heard that the lower they fly, the less chemicals you can see.
Right.
Huh.
Exactly. And yeah, that's another big theory is population control. You know, thin out the herd.
Wow.
Yep. Now, so, you know, here's the thing, too. Over the years, there's been tons of clinical and anecdotal observations from healthcare professionals around the world linking chemtrails to everything from headaches, brain fog, fatigue, low energy, compromised immunity, disorientation, difficulty paying attention or concentrating, sinusitis, skin discomfort or irritation, joint pain, muscle pain, asthmatic breathing difficulties, dizziness, insomnia, memory loss, eye problems, nausea, liver problems, gallbladder dysfunction, tinnitus, neck pain, scratchy throat, allergy symptoms, hay fever, flu symptoms, susceptibility to cold, general weakness, anxiety. Like, I mean, this list goes freaking on and on. And the thing is all of those things are so vague and can be pushed off to other areas. But it's documented that, yeah, on spray days, these people suffered with these symptoms.
I wonder, I'll be curious to know how people, because I left there today. I was gone all day. I'm curious to know how anyone in Rome Mountain was affected today, or how long does this last? Once they spray like that, how long is it? Just a 24-hour thing? Do you know what the time period is for that, or I would imagine it is long. It's pretty long lasting, isn't it?
No, that's why they continually spray. You know, it's when it's airborne, we are more susceptible to this. But as it settles and hits the ground, it kind of gets washed in. Now, things like the heavy metals, like the aluminum, okay, well, that eventually will get into the watershed. Okay, and we'll, you know, start consuming it that way. But, again, it's such a minute quantity that by the time it gets to the water, you don't notice it. It's most effective when it's airborne like that.
So that's so funny, because they were spraying it at the time all the parents were out taking all their children to school. That's when it happened.
Coincidence, you think?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
That is when that town is the most active. Any other time, there is no activity really in that town. But everybody was out. All the teenagers were driving. All the parents were taking their kids to school. All the people were driving to work, and that's when it was happening. Any other time, that town, there's, you know, just a few handful of cars here and there. That's when
sure.
the town popping, and that's
yeah.
when it was happening.
Well, listen, if you were gonna spray something to affect people, when would you do it? When most of the people are out and about.
And these planes were frantic going back and forth creating this thing, it was unreal. It's just my wonder is what were they trying to create? I'm trying to say this without trying to sound ugly, because I'm not trying to. It's not a highly educated area. It's not a highly financially secure area. I mean, what else are they trying to take away? It's really weird, because it's a beautiful area that could easily become a large tourist area, and nobody knows why it won't expand. Nobody knows why you graduate here. Nobody actually, not a lot of people go more and do more. It's like a dead end place. Surely there's a connection, wouldn't you think? I mean,
I don't, because chemtrails are non-discriminatory. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, good neighborhood, bad neighborhood, inner city, country. There is a website. It's called chemtrailforecastnetwork.com. Okay, and every day they post the areas being sprayed, okay, where they're getting reports from. And you look at this map, and there, on any given day, there's not very many safe places.
Wow. So do they usually spray in as much excess as abundance, I guess, as I saw this morning, or is that a little more than usual?
Yeah. No, that's it. I've seen 6 planes doing it. I've read reports of 20 and 30 planes at a time doing it. But yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll cover an area like that. And it's usually like a military jet, so it maneuvers well. So yeah, you said it took off straight up. Well, yeah, they can do that. Take a hard right.
How do they explain it? I mean, at some point, somebody has had to, like, I didn't have the opportunity, but they followed to where they saw, because I saw where they were coming from, and somebody's been like, I'm going to go see where that's at. They went to, found it, confronted them. What is their explanation? Has anybody ever got an explanation from anybody, seeing where the actual takeoff point was or anything?
Hey, let me ask you a question, Kat.
Yeah.
What happens to people who confront the government on top secret issues?
Well, I know this much today. In front of my salon, there was a car with people in it taking pictures of everybody going in and out and around my building.
Uh-huh.
For no reason. With a dealer tag on the car from nowhere.
And all you did was post a picture.
Right.
What if you went and, confronted? Okay. Yeah.
Well, we started to, but then we got scared.
There you go. See, we can come on here and talk about this, and you know, they can just play it off like, yeah, they're a bunch of nuts. Okay. Well, maybe we're a bunch of nuts, but we know what we know. Okay. You go to the government directly. Where are you going to end up?
I would think 6 feet below, personally.
Either that or some experimental lab in Area 51.
Yeah.
You know, they'll turn you over to the aliens.
Here's the way I think they do. They set you up for tax evasion or false charges, or they do things to you to where you just shut up because you don't want to deal with it, you know? They'll just screw with you.
Yeah. That hits a little close to home for me.
See, and my thing is I don't have anything. I don't own anything. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And I have Dawn here's a question for you. I have someone here with me, and they have a question. She wants to know about the mercury
in Flint, Michigan. Supposedly,
I'm gonna let her ask you. There's mercury in Flint, Michigan that was supposedly
dumped there, without the city's
being aware. There was mercury dumped in Flint, Michigan without the city's knowledge. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Where else are you going to dump mercury? A city like Flint, Michigan, because it's a downtrodden area. It's economically depressed. And I say bullshit that the city didn't know they were doing it. They probably got paid heavily to take this toxic waste. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll call bullshit on that because – it is what it is. And mercury, you know, there's another thing. And we can do a whole show on mercury and the silver amalgam fillings in your teeth have mercury in them. You know, but God forbid a dentist will tell you that or tell you there's a problem with it, they can lose their license.
Yeah.
You know, if a dentist removes a silver filling, it has to be packed in a special solution, double packed, and it has to leave their office in 24 hours.
Hmm. You know,
that's a law.
That made me think. There was a lady. There used to be a holistic healing center here in Banner Elk where I'm at, and there was a lady that had several fillings that had mercury in them, and she was getting very ill. And the lady that owned the Holistic Healing Center at that point was not a very good holistic healer, is all I'm going to say. She was not in it for the right reasons, we'll say that much.
Yeah, right.
She told the lady she needed to have all of her fillings removed. The lady was a wealthy lady, and she went and paid a dentist to remove all of her fillings at once.
Mm-hmm.
She died of mercury poisoning. Very shortly.
Yeah, that is, first of all, you need to get a level. Okay, and the only accurate way to get a level is with a provocative test. So you get an IV of a chelating agent. Okay, and this agent will pull it out of the tissue. Then you collect 6 hours worth of urine, you send that out to the lab, and that's the only way you get a true mercury level. If your level is high, there is no way you should start getting those teeth worked on. You could go to the best dentist in the world, best biological dentist in the world, who takes every safety precaution, and you will still get a mercury spike. Because it's as they're working on it, it becomes a methyl mercury, which is 300 times more toxic than the regular mercury. That is wrong and criminal what she did, and shame on her.
She's still practicing in Atlanta somewhere, but she shouldn't be.
No.
Anyway, that's a whole other. So okay, now back to these chemtrails. So we know this is happening. A lot of people don't want to believe it. You and I talked, they want to put their heads in the sand, believe these things aren't happening. They don't want to believe a lot of things in this world are happening. You and I talked about people want to be baby pampered, and you just have sympathy and wah-wah-wah for them. And you and I both talked, that's not going to happen with me, you, and Tess. So facts and truth. This is real. This is happening. What do we do, Frank? What can be done? Anything?
To protect ourselves or stop it?
Both.
There's nothing we can do to stop it. Okay? Because it's not just our government. It's the whole New World Order. I mean, this is worldwide. Okay? You cannot stop it. What can we do to protect ourselves? First and foremost, detox, detox, detox. You know, in real estate, they always say location, location, location. With your body, it's detox, detox, detox. There is a product called zeolite. Okay, zeolite, like all that radioactive stuff, the barium, the radioactive thorium, and so on and so forth, that's in this chemtrail. Well, guess what? Guess what that radiation is going to do to your body?
Oh, yeah.
Zeolite will pull that out of your body along with a lot of the other stuff. But, the simplest form of detox, it's cheap and everybody can do it, get a good sweat going.
Okay.
When you sweat, you detoxify. Some of the sickest
sweat
people.
Sweat it out.
Yeah. Some of the sickest people I've ever met in my life do not sweat. And they are just... The disease process runs rampant in them. So that's the simplest form. Of course, for some of the other stuff, yeah, you will need other things. Cilantro or chlorella is really good for pulling out heavy metals like the aluminum. Zeolite, I can't even say enough about. Remember when the tsunami hit Japan and Fukushima was leaking radiation, right?
Right, yeah.
I was getting calls from everywhere for zeolite, because it just was flying off everybody's shelves. Because
so is this something you carry at your clinic?
I do, yeah.
So we're coming down to the wire. We have to have you back on the show, because I didn't even get a third of the questions that I had for you. So right now I'm going to give it up.
Very much.
I need you to tell everybody where your clinic is, how they can get a hold of you, because people are going to have a lot of questions, how they can get the detox that you have, things like that. Can you give us your information really quick?
Sure, absolutely. The clinic is located in Bangor, Pennsylvania. You can find me on Facebook under The Vitamin Pharmacy. Okay, and that has all the information, the phone number, address, store hours. Give us a call. You can send me a message through Facebook, and I will do my best to answer your questions in a timely manner.
And it's The Vitamin Pharmacy on Facebook. Or you can shoot Tess and I a message. We'll get you hooked up with Frank. He is a wealth of knowledge. Get some of this detox from him. Me and Donna are sitting here going, we're getting some. I'm a big on detoxing. So definitely, guys, get this. Frank, we have a million questions for you.
that we just got to the surface. We really didn't even get into what we wanted, you know, more depth. There's just so many questions unanswered, and there's so many more conspiracy theories that I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh my God!
So much we
I'll
need to
tell
talk
you what,
about.
I would love to come back and talk about Lyme and Lyme disease and the conspiracy.
Oh
this
my
is,
gosh!
This is a, like, go ahead.
I would love to hear about that.
My sister's mother-in-law died from Lyme disease.
Yes, ma'am. There are thousands dying every day from Lyme or being debilitated, and it is brutal. I don't go a day without seeing somebody with Lyme. Thank God.
And people don't realize how it's destroying people's lives. And so, yes, we will do that. Let's plan on that next week if you're available next Wednesday night. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that this week. I think I'm available, but I got to look at schedules. I don't know anything off the top of my head anymore.
Right. I'm with you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Frank Sinelli. Thank you so much, Frank, for being here.
Thank you, Frank.
I love you guys.
Go to the Vitamin Shop online. Is the Vitamin Shop or Vitamin Store?
Vitamin Pharmacy.
The Vitamin Pharmacy. Go to Facebook, the Vitamin Pharmacy. Frank Sinelli, Dr. Spector. He's written books. He's an amazing man. We love him. Wonderful holistic healer. That's just the tip of the iceberg what this man can do. Do not forget, go there, Vitamin Pharmacy. Get some of this detox. Ask him questions. He's got the answers. Love you, Frank. I will see you soon. Love you guys.
Love you, Frank.
Hopefully he'll be here next Wednesday night.
Love you, Tad.
We'll talk to him about Lyme disease and all these other things. Love you guys. Thanks for joining us. Mountain Gypsies, love you all. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Night-night.
Bye.